Hello and welcome. This is Dress Up Disasters. I am Allie Cass and this is
Circuit.
And we're here today to talk about cosplay meetups. What is a cosplay meetup? How to host one and where you can find them in a location near you. Also, little announcement time. Circuit and I will be attending SacroCon in 2 weeks, where we will be hosting another Cosplay Horror Stories panel. This one will not be recorded, so if you want to hear all of the juicy stories, you'll just have to come and see the panel.
Our
exclusive tales.
And who knows, maybe this will be our last time in the States for a few years.
Yeah, we'll see. The panel is on Friday at 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Summit Building, room 440 to 442. Do come see us. We'll have fresh new stories as well as some titillating extensions to previously told stories. So, you know, you gotta come listen. You gotta come here. If you want the juicy details, you've gotta come in person.
And you also gotta tell your stories, too.
Oh, yes. I need to hear all of your juicy
horror stories. Getting the cops called on them.
Yeah. Luckily, I just remembered I did have that happen to me one time.
Yeah.
As a baby cosplayer.
Yeah, I haven't had the cops called on me yet, but there's been a few times where I'm surprised I haven't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we've gotten kicked out of enough places. Being in places we're technically not supposed to for a
street. Yeah, and then ending up in the middle of the street.
Yeah. But, anyways.
Maybe that's when we could tell it's SacroCon.
Ooh, actually I could. That'd be a really funny one. So, cosplay meetups. What is a cosplay meetup?
Are you asking me?
Sure.
A cosplay meetup, there's a few different ways a cosplay meetup can, you know, be a thing. Where they have sometimes official ones run through the con, unofficial ones also sometimes ran through the con, or ones that don't even take place at a con at all and could be just at a general random park or in the basement of a parkade or what have you.
Or the cool, hip business district in a downtown city near you.
Yeah, where a bunch of business owners gotta get real cool with a bunch of stuff real fast.
Yeah. Basically, a cosplay meetup is where someone, you or somebody else, hosts a meetup. That's kind of in the title. But basically, it's where a group of cosplayers will meet up either for fun or for a photo shoot. It doesn't have to actually be a photo shoot. A lot of the ones that I've either hosted or been a part of do have a photographer or two present, but it's also just a time to like get together with fellow cosplayers of that genre, or it could just be a general cosplay meetup, and then you get to meet fellow cosplayers, either friends that you already know. A lot of times it's a great place to like meet new cosplayers.
Mm-hmm. Meet new photographers too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I really
I've
like.
Met a lot of people mm-hmm. and made friends through cosplay meetups.
And I've seen a few meetups every so often locally here in Vancouver that are like just picnics where people get mm-hmm. in a costume and they mm-hmm. just go and have food
or yeah.
like a swap meet type deal or stuff like that.
It's just, they're really, really fun events, I've hosted a few, you've hosted some, we've hosted them together.
It's a fun way to meet people in the community that's at a low cost.
Yes, yes. Because usually, cosplay meetups are either free or very low cost because the structure is a lot less intense than like a set photo shoot. So yeah, because like I've had meetups at cons are usually no cost in the sense of you don't have to pay to go to the meetup, but you kind of have to pay to go to the con. But a lot of them actually tend to take place outside as well. So like AR, me and a friend, that wasn't proper English, anyways, hosted a meetup for like just a general Don May meetup, and that happened on the roof of the Cactus Club. So if anyone has in the YVR area or has gone to a Vancouver con,
that's most of the demographic.
Yeah, you'll know what that is. If not, stay confused. How did we get on the rooftop? Anyways. the meetup was hosted there, and it had, like, a really good turnout. We did have a photographer present, but that was just a friend, and so he did it for free, thankfully, because he's so awesome and cool. But it is a great way to meet photographers, meet other cosplayers. I, you know, was able to become, like, made some friends out of that one, so mm-hmm. that was great. Or meet people that I had, like, excuse me, I'm so sorry, had previously, like, known online but never met in person, so yeah. I
love
cosplay.
And then you could be that weird stalker with the parasocial relationships.
Yeah.
We love to see it.
We love to see it. That, because I've hosted meetups at cons and then also outside of cons, so there was one that we hosted at a park near my house. That one was just, like, a general cosplay meetup. We had two amateur photographers that were there for that one, so it was completely free. You just had to get yourself there. And there was, like, 7 or 8 of us, yeah. I think.
And then there was a Bungo Stray Dogs meetup that we hosted
yeah.
in the newly renovated District 1881 down in Chilliwack.
Mm-hmm.
There was, like, what, 20 of us?
There's quite a few, yeah. I think it was, like, 15, 16. There was a lot of people.
Yeah, and that was also, that's an example of a paid shoot
yeah.
where we booked a photographer for their time, and then everyone who had agreed and cemented themselves going to this shoot, because it's very, very rarely are these meetups and photo shoots outside of conventions by drop-in.
Yeah.
It's definitely something you kind of have to commit to beforehand.
Yeah.
Where people will post on, like, Instagram stories or whatever, being like, mm-hmm. hey, this is a thing we're doing. Message me if you're interested. And then you get added to group chat, and then all the...
Yeah.
All of the dates and everything get sorted in that group chat.
Mm-hmm.
Where we booked a photographer being like, hey, this is about how many people we have, and then we split the cost all the way around. So it was, like, what... Like,
I think it was $11 a person.
Something like that, yeah.
So it's very low cost. We also met up beforehand at a coffee shop. We had coffee, we talked, we chilled, we hung out, then we went and did the shoot, and then after we had done, like, all of our photos and everything, we all got dinner together. So, like, this meetup ended up lasting, like, what, 5 hours? We were kind of there around downtown. So it was, yes, a photo shoot, but it was also, like, a meetup. And so that's why that I classify that one as more of a meetup and less of just a photo shoot, because everyone stayed together for quite some time afterwards. Like, yeah, some but people had to leave at different times and come at different times. Like, that's usual for these kinds of things.
Yeah, especially because we had a few minors who had to wait for, like, their parents to come and pick them up
yeah.
and stuff like that. So, you know, not all photo shoots are minor friendly. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind, especially if you are a little
yeah,
baby
a lot
cosplayer.
Of, like, yeah.
Because a lot of them, for various and sundry reasons, just book it for people who are 18 and above, just because that...
A lot of safety reasons for the minor.
Yeah, it's a
involved.
Lot of safeguarding
yeah.
things.
We want to make sure that the minors are safety, or that minor mm-hmm. safety is very important, mm-hmm. and so sometimes it's easier for photo shoots, to just not have a minor present and say we don't want any of the kids, because, like, sometimes you could be going somewhere that, like, you can't always guarantee someone's safety, and I don't like being in charge of the safety of somebody else's child, because I don't want an angry parent on my front door being like, hey, my kid got randomly attacked when we went downtown for a shoot. Has that ever happened? No. Is it possible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially because a lot of the really cool shoot locations you can get to for free, like mm-hmm. in Vancouver, happen to be around
some sketch.
Not the best neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So there's always a risk, especially when you look a certain way on the street.
Yeah.
People could come up and bother you more.
Well, I've been at meetups and shoots where I've had to tell multiple groups of people mm-hmm. to not take photos because there were minors present.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't often realize that you're A, not there for them, B, that it's not a free attraction, and C, that there could be minors present that they could be taking photos
yeah,
of.
Yeah, especially in tourism-heavy cities
yeah.
like Vancouver, because
yeah.
a lot of people who aren't from the area don't realize that there's such a big, like, cosplayer scene.
Yeah.
So they see costume and they think of, like, the Las Vegas Strip, where
mm-hmm.
people dress up for the tourists.
Yeah.
Or they're just generally assholes. Like,
yeah.
there was a few people at that Chainsaw Man shoot that one of our friends hosted.
Yeah.
Where I was trying to get some solos done, and they just wanted to show their ass at the camera while I was trying to get photos taken.
Yeah.
which I love. I love people.
So that's kind of why you need to make sure the cosplay shoots or the meetups that you're going to are minor friendly. And that also might be why they aren't in some cases, and it's not because they don't necessarily want to have kids there. It's more for the safety of the child present. And
that's typically always how it goes when when something like that is being excluded for something like minors.
Unless your parents are coming with you, sometimes that can kind of because I've definitely had where Jonathan has come with his kids and they're when they were much younger. But I felt more comfortable having him and the kids there because, you know, that is a whole grown-ass man. He can take care of his kids. But, if it's me, there have been times where I've hosted meetups where I was in charge of, some person's 15-year-old kid, and,
That happened at that...
At the bungo shoot
that I mentioned before, when we had to wait,
2 hours?
2 hours for their parent to come get them after the shoot had already ended.
Yeah.
Which, thankfully, we had the time to be able to do that kind of stuff, but a lot of people our age who are running these shoots don't have that kind of time.
Because I also, my ride home was going to leave when everybody else was, and I would have had to, bus back to my city, because it was a whole city away from me. I would have had to take in, 3 or 4 buses to get home.
Well, you were also staying at my house that weekend.
No, that was a different weekend. Staying at your house.
Oh, you're thinking of a different one?
Yeah, Jonathan was driving me home for the bungo shoot.
You're thinking of the bungo shoot in Vancouver.
No, I'm thinking about the bungo shoot in Chilliwack.
Oh, okay.
Because I was going home that day because I had to work the next day.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways.
We did a lot of bungo shoots a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They get muddled.
Yeah, this is true. Between filming for the CMV and all of the different shoots.
Because I went to 2 group bungo shoots. And then there was the one we did for the CMV that was also all the promotional images.
Yeah.
In the span of, 6 months.
Yeah.
I don't even like bungo. I was just there. I wanted to be included.
It was me going, I love this so much, please cosplay with me. Which is a lot of times how, cosplay shoots and meetups end up happening is somebody screaming, I love this cosplay. Or this fandom, and everybody else goes, oh, okay, yeah, I could be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, now that we've kind of covered what these are and some of the things about them, want to talk about how to find meetups in your area?
Yeah, so as I mentioned a little earlier in this episode, a lot of meetups and group photo shoots like this are organized on Instagram. At least locally to us, that's typically how you find them.
Instagram and occasionally Facebook.
Yeah.
Depends on the age demographic that they're hosting towards.
Because I find ones for conventions are organized on Facebook.
Yeah.
Privately organized ones are usually on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the occasional one that's that Miku meetup was organized on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
The one that happened in New York, which looked so fun.
Was it the lookalike one?
Yeah, the lookalike one. Yeah, that one looked incredibly fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but typically in the standard cosplayer sense, they're organized specifically on Instagram stories. So
You kind of have to know people.
Yeah, but that's what I love about things like conventions, because you get everyone's ads and you follow one person and then you see them hang out with 6 people at a con and then you follow all them and then the next con happens and you follow all them and just soon you know it, you're following whole friend groups and then you integrate yourself like a weirdo like me. So typically people will put out a call out on their Instagram stories being like, hey, we're planning on doing a shoot for this piece of media. Say it's Vocaloid or something. Yeah. And then people just respond to their story being like, I would love to do this. Could I be this character? Because sometimes with photo shoots, people do care about doubles. A lot of times they don't, but occasionally, depending on what they're trying to do with the photo shoot they do, which... That is totally fine, in my opinion.
Yes. The no doubles, I usually have take offense to that, like at cons or things like that, but when it is a photo shoot setting and you are paying to be there and there is specific parameters, it is a completely valid thing. Yeah.
Because a lot of people hear no doubles and they automatically think like elitism and stuff like that, but there could be multiple reasons. If someone's doing it just to be a dick because they claim internal dibs on a character, that's totally one thing, but occasionally people are trying to do like specific type of projects where they want like a full cast, so they try and fill it out first before they accept doubles, because that's something I like to do.
Yeah,
I try to get as many of the side characters as well before I start having like 3, 4, 5 of the same main character for a photo shoot. But you know, that's usually at the discretion of whoever's organizing it.
Yeah.
Or even the group as a whole, sometimes they make those big group decisions or whatever.
Yeah, because like a really rigid like photo shoot setting is probably going to have a lot more parameters, whereas just a loose cosplay meetup, like a friend of mine locally that regularly will host like little picnics at parks that are in cosplay, those ones are a lot more loosely based sometimes around a theme. Like currently, actually, she put one out that was like Genshin girls in like cute attire, and that was the theme. And so like sometimes you'll find ones that are just themed, sometimes you'll find ones that are a little more like stricter on like they want to fill up these specific characters. Like let's say you were hosting a Haikyuu meetup and you wanted all of Nekoma, which would be difficult to do because, you know, not so many people, as many people cosplay Nekoma. So, you know, you're going to get 17 Kenmas and, you know, 12 Kuros and then
which
maybe get somebody else.
There's an audience for that, but typically with these types of pre-planned things, you don't see that a whole lot.
Yeah.
Occasionally you do, just for shits and giggles, and be like, let's see how many fucking Rapunzel cosplayers we can get together.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like, I want to do, I want to host a meetup of, like, how many Link and Zelda cosplayers can I get? And it could be any version of Link, any version of Zelda. I want your ass there, and we're gonna have, like, you know, a big shoot that's just Link and Zelda, or just Link, or things like that. Like, those can sometimes be, like, really fun. And if, like, so for finding meetups outside of cons and outside of, and at cons and things like that, if you can't find the one you're looking for, host one.
Yeah, they're a lot less scary to run than they look like they are.
Yeah. I definitely suggest having a co-host if you intend to have more than 5 people show up. Because sometimes it can be helpful to have an extra person who also has the plan in their brain.
Yeah, and if you're someone who's more type A, or you have experience running other types of events too, then I'd push that number up to maybe 10.
Mm-hmm.
Like me, for example, I have a very big history of running various events and being a part of event staffs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's easier for me to wrangle larger groups of people than someone, let's say, who's a lot shyer, who's more introverted, who's more kind of like, oh, I don't know what, maybe we could try this, maybe we could do that. So pretty much just however many people you're comfortable with, you can set the cap for your group for whatever you want. If that's a 3-person group, it's a 3-person group. If it's a 30-person group, have at her.
Yeah. I think, because like, when I was a manager at McDonald's, the largest groups of people that I ran shifts for was about 17, so I'd put myself at easily, like, I could wrangle about 15 people and keep them all together, but I also enjoy having a second or somebody else with me just in case I forget something of the plan. I like to have a second just as like a, hey, how does this idea sound? Am I insane for thinking we could do this?
And that's what I'm for.
Yeah. Because I do have the experience and the knowledge and the know-how to, like, run a larger group of people, but I also enjoy having, like, help.
Yeah, it also could be it also could be great, like, say, keeping the local analogies for the Valley here. Say you're from Langley and you want to do a shoot downtown Vancouver, but you're not super familiar with downtown Vancouver. If you have a second who is closer to Vancouver who could scout locations for you for the shoot, absolutely go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because not everyone knows exactly where they're shooting all of the time and all of the ins and outs of the area they're shooting at, or, you know, how the local area would be, how safe it would be to shoot at.
Yeah.
Right? Especially with places like Vancouver, where sometimes you have to consider how safe the area could be. Or just yes. even how clean sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I have done a couple shoots in Vancouver where I did have to clean fecal matter off my shoes that didn't belong to a dog. So, because we didn't do those types of recce's first.
Yes. Delicious.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
I love downtown and big cities.
They're fantastic.
So good.
Another thing that I'm really passionate about for shoots, because I love doing stuff with, like, SFX and special effects and stuff like that. If you're doing something publicly that requires, say, a lot of blood or fake weaponry as props
mm-hmm.
or smoke bombs even. Like, say you're on the rooftop of a parkade and you're setting off smoke bombs. Let the local emergency service departments know that you're doing that.
mm-hmm.
Because Joe Schmo down on the street may just look up at parkade and see smoke. And then as soon as you know it, you have the fire services.
Yep.
Busting your parade while you're just wanting to get pictures of your Superman costume.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know, that was a discussion we had to have talking, because we're doing a whole DC ladies group. Mm-hmm. That was a discussion we had to have because we were talking about doing things with fire and smoke bombs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right? Same with blood and weaponry, because people will call the ambulance for you.
Yeah.
Or police services if you're walking around with weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though your gun may have the little orange thing, a lot of people might not notice or care to get close enough to check and see if your weapon is real before calling the police.
Yeah, because if somebody was walking down the street with an AK-47 with a little orange tip on the end, I'm not getting close enough to see if there's an orange tip. Mm-hmm. I'm going the opposite direction and going, hey, 911, somebody's got an AK-47 out on the street, and I don't want to be anywhere near that.
Yeah, because I've heard many horror stories coming from people shooting, like, student thesis films and stuff like that, where they didn't make those calls, and their production got swatted, and people got hurt because the police department didn't realize it was fake when they saw the main actor holding the gun.
Yeah.
You know, safety is more important than being able to bring your props around.
Yes. Well, it was like another local cosplayer did a Chainsaw Man shoot on the SkyTrain mm-hmm. where there is a simulated gunshot wound to the head and a lot of fake blood. And she literally walked around with a sign on the back, like on her back, saying, this is fake blood, this is for a photo shoot. So that way people wouldn't immediately call. So if you are doing some type of meetup or photo shoot where that is happening, you need to be safe about it, and you need to let other people know. And if some people are stopping to look, you can always turn and go, hey, sorry, this is just a photo shoot, guys, no worries.
Yeah, and in those instances, having a few photo shoot assistants who yes. aren't there in costume, maybe they're helping the photographer or helping you with a bunch of bags. I love to affectionately refer to these people as the bag bitches.
Yes.
With
all the love in my heart, truly, yeah, you are the they're backbone the, they, oh, of
yeah.
this.
They can kind of stand guard almost and assure people that everything is fake and consensual yeah. and, like, please don't call the cops.
Yeah. And also, if you are a little nervous about joining a cosplay meetup or photo shoot or something like that, in cosplay, you can always offer to be one of these assists first to see if this is something that you're interested in doing. And then you aren't having to also be concerned about your costume and getting there in costume and performing in front of the camera and things like that. It can be an easier way to know if that is something you're interested in.
And a lot of times, too, people organizing the shoots and who are involved in these meetups and stuff are totally okay with the people who are paying to be in these shoots, assuming it's a paid one, bringing a buddy of their own.
Yes.
To help them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I have friends and stuff come with me to my shoots all the time if mm-hmm. they're not involved in the actual event.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I'm doing a shoot in October with live fire, and my mom's coming around to help me as my handler to make mm-hmm. sure, you know, no one burns to death.
Exactly. Because,
That would be bad.
That would be very bad. That would be very bad. Not a 10 out of... That would be 0 out of 10.
Yeah, 0 out of 10. But hey, I could put some real burn marks in that coat.
So, the kind of, like, TLDR of hosting a meetup there are about, like, six things.
Well, there's also, too, I do want to mention before we start getting to the TLDR, shoot around people. I see a lot of people, like, on TikTok or whatever, doing impromptu shoots, like, say, at a bus station or a train station or whatever, and they're getting really upset with people, you know, trying to catch their bus because they're trying to get pictures.
Yeah.
It's like, you're missing the point of what these public places are supposed to be for.
Yeah.
Right? Find ways to shoot around the people trying to get to work, trying to get to school, or running errands, or whatever, because you are their inconvenience. They are not your inconvenience.
Yeah. And if you are in these very public places, and people are stopping to take a photo, or stopping to do something, you have to remember that, yes, you are a person with rights, and it is kind of inconvenient and annoying to have these people doing things. You are also disrupting their day by being out and about in a silly little costume with a photographer. And people are going to get curious. Why are you dressed up as a clown?
Yeah, well, we were doing a Lincoln Zelda shoot a couple years ago down at the park near my parents' house. And a family climbed all the way down into the riverbank to be like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
What's up? Or whatever. While we're trying to film TikToks and take photos and stuff. And we absolutely stopped and talked to them for a few minutes, right? It costs absolutely nothing to be kind to other people.
Yeah, literally. Right? Like, it takes a minute, 2 minutes to just answer a question really quickly.
Especially if they're being nice about it.
Yeah, if they're being an asshole, fuck them. But
if you can tell it's a genuine source of, like, curiosity, which is usually really easy to tell when people are, like, just being a dick and people are being, like, very curious as to what they're doing. Because a lot of people, especially before COVID, but even after, people don't necessarily know what cosplay is or what that looks like outside of conventions. A lot of people think of cosplay being self-contained to conventions
only. Or just self-contained to, like, a TikTok video that they once saw on their For You page.
People don't think of the fact that how people get these photos and videos that they see online means going to public places.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's a booked thing, like they're booking a part of a park, or they're just going down to the IKEA and getting pictures in the showroom.
Yeah, because you have to remember that this could be this person's first ever experience with cosplay. This could be the first time they have ever seen somebody outside of Halloween dressed up that way, especially if you are in a tourist-heavy city. The conventions in Vancouver happen right there on the wharf where the cruise ships dock and let out a host of, not vacationers. Yeah, vacationers. That's not the word I'm searching for. Tourists. That's what I'm searching for. And so I've had people from Germany come up and in broken English ask me, what is going on? Why are we dressed this way? What is this? Did you make these? Like, is this something you buy? Are you here for the tourists? What's going on? And, like, they were very genuine about it. They weren't making fun of us. I've also had one time this Japanese guy came up to me at a con one time.
Oh, yeah.
I was just walking past.
I had a group of a bunch of Japanese guys coming up to us and we're all in Critical Role cosplay being like, what is this? Like, it's, what are you guys?
Yeah. Well, this guy was, like, super excited because I was dressed as Sailor Moon. And he was like, that's from my country! Like, Sailor Moon, that's from my country! And so he asked for a photo and he was very genuine, very lovely. And then I had, like, this other, like, Latin American guy who stopped me when I was Black Widow one year, and he barely knew any English, but he was like, Black Widow, photo? Photo? Black Widow. And I was like, sure, fuck it. Like,
and then on the other end of that, you get the tourists that make you put your food down so they could get a picture.
Yeah.
Because that happened to a friend of mine. We were sitting at the Torch Plaza at the convention center, and she has a fork up to her mouth to eat, like, her poutine or whatever. And this woman, this old Asian woman, comes up with her camera already up, being like, no, 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 no. Fork down. Picture? And my friend, with the fork still kind of in the air, just kind of looks at her and gives her a smile. And she takes her picture and she walks off.
Yeah. So, like,
that kind of stuff you could tell people to fuck off for.
Yeah, that thing, tell people definitely to fuck off. But if it's just somebody who's genuinely trying to catch their bus, get on the train, walk past you on the sidewalk, or ask, hey, what is this? Why are you doing this? What's up? Or even if it's somebody who's quickly just wanted to take a photo on their phone, if you're in a paid shoot and, like, it's a timed shoot and you've only got, like, 5 minutes left, you can be like, hey, in a second, I need to do this first. And, like, you are, at your own discretion, can tell people just to fuck off, but, like, if this could be their first interaction of cosplay, and if you're mean to them, then they can see every other cosplayer they see after that as somebody who's an asshole.
Well, that and the tricky thing, too, especially with British Columbia, I know it's kind of different everywhere. BC specifically is a one-party consent province, right? So really, there is nothing stopping people from taking pictures of you anyways.
Yeah.
And so, like, as long as they're not, A, being super rude about it, like, for example, the story of my friend trying to eat her lunch or blatantly trying to get photos that are like upskirts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't, as horrific as it is and as annoying as it is, there's really nothing cosplayers here anyways can do to kind of be like, hey, like, why?
Yeah.
Because you can be like, hey, like, ask next time, but really there's nothing you can do about it, unfortunately. Yeah. And a lot of people who take these pictures know that.
Yeah.
And that kind of accusatoriness or whatever can really escalate situations that really don't warrant escalating, unfortunately.
A lot of times if somebody's just taking photos and I don't like it, I'll just call out a, can you ask next time? And 50% of the time, those people go, oh, I'm sorry, can I take a photo? And then I'll pose or whatever for them. Because, like, sometimes they genuinely do not realize that the taking a photo of you is not cool.
Yeah, and I really wish that it was different and that that wasn't necessarily the case, but unfortunately with where we live and the time that we live, it is, there really isn't anything that we can...
If you are out on the street in a cosplay, you have, whether you like it or not, become part of the attraction. That's something that, unfortunately, as cosplayers, we have to come to terms with if you're going to wear your costume outside.
Yeah, and of course, you know, I know there are some states in the U.S. where there is, like, it's two-party consent, and you both need to agree, and those are completely different scenarios.
Yes.
But specifically, like, where we are and, like, the other one-party consent places, there really isn't a whole lot that can be done about it other than being like, hey, like, I know you're wanting to take a picture. You know, cosplayers are usually okay with photos being taken. Just the polite thing to do is ask, because then we can pose for you and you can get a better picture.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are just kind of like really quick just to get really angry with the person taking the picture. And that's really not conducive to anything.
No.
Not anything positive.
Yeah. Because if you make somebody mad enough, they might just start filming you anyways. And then now they have an angry video of you cussing and swearing at them. And they could literally do anything with that. So... as weird and wild as it might say...
as backwards as it is, really.
Yeah, sometimes you just gotta... you can calmly tell them, hey, please don't take a photo of me, and a lot of times, that does the trick. Just telling them, hey, please don't take a photo of me, or ask next time, usually is enough. If you're just calling somebody out on it, most people are gonna have enough of self-awareness to go, oh, shit, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And if they don't have the self-awareness, or they start immediately lying to you, then, like, you can tell them to either fuck off, or you just turn around and walk away. Like, mm-hmm. Sometimes it is not worth your time.
99% of the time it isn't, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people who are really quick to anger on that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
too. And it's like, you know, it's your right to get angry about it, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, just typically people should get photos of you without asking, without any serious, like, ulterior motives or anything. They just don't necessarily know the etiquette.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, at Emerald City this year, it was happening in the hotel concurrent with some sort of, like, businessy conference thing.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people there who were there for the conference were really awesome, but, like, there was this one guy who was in the lobby every single day.
This guy was fantastic.
Every cosplayer in the lobby for photos. And then there was another person who, while we're on the escalator going up to the second floor to the market thing to get lunch, this woman just turns around on the escalator, snaps a picture, and then says, "Oh, I took a picture of you, by the way, because I'm going to make you guys famous." And we're like, huh? Yeah. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
We're like, usually you ask before you take the picture. You don't inform the person you're taking a picture of after.
Yeah, that one was wild. She's like, "I'm sending it to my husband." And we're like, okay, cool.
Yeah. I'm like, I doubt you would know what I'm dressed up as anyway. So, you know, go off.
Like, it'd be like that sometimes.
It do be. Yeah.
So, hosting a meetup. What are the 6 things that I kind of think you should know if you've never done one before? First, putting out a summons. That can be on your social media. That could be word of mouth. There's a lot of ways to do it. My best suggestion for you is on a social media thing. Call out on a post on your Instagram, on a post on a story, TikTok, something.
I'm sure that you, whoever's listening, would kind of know where the best place to do that is for your local cosplay community. Because, you know, some places are really heavy on Instagram. Some places are really heavy on Facebook and so on and so forth. So it does, just because we use Instagram a lot for ours doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be the best choice for you.
Yeah. And then for putting out that summons, making a group chat so that way everybody can talk to each other and you can make sure that information is disseminated between the group evenly.
And sometimes people in the group chat will have great ideas on things like locations.
Yeah, because that's the next thing. Picking a time and a location. That's where you can ensure that everybody can make it to the same spot at the same time. That's where people may have to drop out or things like that.
It's also great for talking about if you want to book a location and add that extra cost, or if you want to try and find a location that's for that you could use for free.
Say, like, a park that could be free, or actually in BC, now you are having to actually, like, rent the spaces and stuff like that, and photographers are needing, like, photography.
In Vancouver,
like,
especially, you see a lot more studio spaces open up marketed specifically for cosplayers too,
which would be fantastic spots because, like, it's like there's a whole set, it's already there. Half the time they've already got lighting and everything like that, and so it does make things a lot easier. I've booked and done shoots at 2 different studio spaces, and they're quite fun. I really enjoy that, and that could be a good thing for your group if the money is there for that.
And if you do book something like a studio space, that would also inform you how many people you can allow in this group.
Exactly.
Because some studio spaces are very tiny. Like, we did one where we fit, like, what, 8 people in it?
Yeah.
And really, you could only fit, like, 4 or 5.
Yeah, we were kind of crammed in there like sardines, but it was fun.
But there's other really large ones where you could fit more, like, 10, 15, even 20 people.
Yeah.
You know, it all depends on the space that you want to book.
Yeah. So, because I actually have a vlog of one of the studios that we shot at on my YouTube channel, if you kind of wanted to see what that might look like. It's self-plugging my own channel on my own podcast. Christian Mark? Anyways, it's LACast Cosplay on YouTube if you want to see it.
We support self-plugs here.
Exactly. And that also leads into your meetup size, whether you want, like, 5 to 10 people. For a lot of meetups outside of cons, I would not suggest going over 20, simply because that's a lot of people to wrangle in a public space. So, like, it really comes down to your location.
Also,
that
people get bored.
Yep.
Too.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you get a lot of group pictures, but a lot of time is spent doing things like solos and duos photos for, like, ships and stuff, especially if you're all for one fandom.
Yeah.
A lot of people end up sitting on the sidelines kind of bored.
Well, I went to one huge group photo shoot. There was at least, with photographers and handlers and everything, there was probably, like, 20, 25 people. It was for Seraph of the End, and there was 2 photographers. So there was one photographer doing group shoots and then one photographer doing solos, and so they would, like, split off and do things like that, and that made for a large group like that, a lot easier to get those different faction shots and everything like that.
That's a lot like the photo shoot that Hannah Wartus did, where it was kind of general, everyone cosplay what they want, where they pick, like, one costume that you haven't gotten any nice photos of yet.
Yeah.
And they had, like, 4 or 5 photographers, and there was 30 or so of us cosplayers all there. You know, and
went to this big park. Mm-hmm. We all split off, went and shot in different locations. You grabbed a photographer. You went, hey, I want you to take photos. And you went, and there was basically a big pool of cash. We all paid, like, what, it was like $15 or something like that each. And then that was split amongst the photographers. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, like a win-win situation for everybody, because then you got to work with new photographers you hadn't worked with yet. You got to, you know, meet up with new people, and it was kind of a come-and-go thing. So the photographers that were there for a set amount of time, and then when you arrived, if they were still there, you could get your photo taken.
Also, side note on photographers. In these group chats where you're planning these shoots, please add your photographers
to them. Oh, please. Please add your photographers to them. They need to know all the information, too. Yeah. And it's easy. And they can also give great feedback for, you know, location, what the idea for some of the shots might be.
The things they can bring as extras.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if they can do things like smoke bombs or other kind of special effects stuff that they can add into whatever
lighting they can bring. Yeah. If they need assistance, if they're bringing an assistant, or if, you know...
And also makes it so you can get familiar with the type of work that they do.
Yeah.
So you can get better ideas for photos you want. And also, so you don't pull a stupid, like I did, and accidentally tag the wrong photographer because you didn't realize what their at was.
That too.
Because that's happened to me a couple of times.
Yeah. And so that kind of brings us into the photographer thing of this. Are you hosting just a casual meetup and everybody's taking photos of each other on your phones? Are you hosting a more structured meetup where you have a photographer or two or three, depending on the size? And, wow, I was really on a roll and then I lost my train of thought. Photographers. So you need to find photographers to do this. Are these photographers that are going to charge money? Are these photographers that are willing to do this for free? Are these photographers that are comfortable working in big groups, or are they more comfortable in solos? Because you need to make sure that your photographers are comfortable doing bigger groups, because I know photographers that aren't, and I know photographers that will usually only do big groups or certain things like that. And so you need to make sure that the photographers that you're getting, if it's somebody who's not super comfortable running, you know, 15 people by themselves, then you need to get a second photographer. So yeah, it's like doing what is the structure of your meetup. Comes down to activities. Is it a thing where you're all gonna film TikToks or film a CMV, or like you're just meeting up to chill in a park somewhere? Or are you doing like a structured photo shoot? You need to have all these things planned, see what everyone is feeling and how you want that to be set up. Cause like, we were a part of a really huge, like, what, there was like 37 people at the Sunset Gardens.
Yep.
That was a huge cosplay meetup slash, like, photo session where they were renting out the entire private garden space, and it was kind of like a collaborative thing between the photographers and the photo and the cosplayers. You found your photographer, and then you either decided you were paying the photographer for their time and also their admission, or... like, what it was with me, our photographer did the shoot for free and paid his own admission.
Yeah.
But
most people ended up doing a time for print kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where everyone paid their own portion of the hotel, the rental cost.
Yeah, the rental cost. Because it was like $600 to rent the space, so everybody ended up spending, I believe it was like $36
each. Yeah, it was around $30.
So it was like a really good price, but then it was great for the photographers and the cosplayers, because they were able to network with other cosplayers, so that way they could hopefully get more shoots. They're able to show off a super interesting location that they might not be able to usually shoot at. It was a great collaborative event.
And something I really liked about that shoot particularly, because a big problem with larger groups is people being late.
Yeah.
So if you have a photographer booked for 2 hours, say for a group of 20 people,
yeah,
and two or three people are late, that's going to eat into the time you've booked with your photographer.
Yeah.
Now, some photographers will just kind of comp that time anyways and tack it on to the end, but some don't care.
Or they're busy after, or they have to be somewhere. And, like, that's fair. You are paying for 2 hours. They don't necessarily want to be there for 2.5 because somebody was late. Like, mm-hmm. that's not on the photographer.
However, with it being set up like this, where it was every cosplayer or every duo or whatever, how they were... However the individual cosplayer was planning it, they could come late.
Yeah, because the place was booked for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, so if you only wanted to be there for an hour...
Yeah, you could.
Totally could. It would still cost you the same, but, you know, you could better manage your own time that way. Because I know we were about 15, 20 minutes late that day.
Because of fucking traffic, because fucking Vancouver and finding fucking parking. Ah!
And also, yeah, trying to pick Emma up from the...
trying to find where Emma was and the stress of that. Oh my god. Anyways, yeah, it was great.
Whoever decided that some SkyTrain stations should have to go across streets and have two different entrance and exits.
And then two different places where you can drop and pick people up at?
Should be shot on site.
Oh my god. Yeah, I'm like, stop. No. It took us like 15 minutes to pick her up. I was like, no! Because we left with like a plenty of time mm-hmm. extra because I knew it was going to be, you know, not great.
Driving into Vancouver, you're either an hour early or 15 minutes late.
Yep.
There is no in between.
So those are all things that you definitely need to keep in mind with hosting your own cosplay meetups / photo shoots. Keep in mind the structure that you want, if you want it to be super structured, not very structured. And that is also the best place, like, in your group chat, if you aren't really sure what, direction you want to go mm-hmm. with, that's a great place to, like, network and be like, okay, I want to host this meetup, but I'm not really sure going into it other than, say, I want to do one for My Hero Academia. You don't know yet what kind of thing you want to do. That's where you can get people interested, and then you can say, okay, I've got a rough idea, but what is everybody else mm-hmm. feeling?
Pinterest boards are also really great to build in these group chats, too.
Every single time,
Where people can put together kinds of shots that they want.
Yeah.
Drawing bases is really fantastic for this. That's something I like to utilize a lot. I look on Pinterest for, like, drawing bases of people with swords or what have you, and you'll get a bunch of different pose ideas for these specific props, or like multi-person pose ideas that you can save and show your photographer so your photographer knows exactly
what to do. Oh, yes, because you need to, like, something that I think is regularly
especially
overlooked.
If the photographer doesn't know what the fuck it is that you're cosplaying, because that happens a lot.
So often, a photographer is just booked for a shoot and shows up day of going, all right, I've never seen this piece of media. I know what that character's from, but that's it. I've seen that one before. And so having a Pinterest board, a mood board, something where you can go, this is the vibe of the shoot. It's also good to tell your photographer beforehand mm-hmm. and give them some ideas and things like that. But I've definitely shown up to a lot of shoots where I have a Pinterest board, I have a bunch of shots in mind, and then some work and some don't.
Yeah, I love using fan art for references.
Oh yeah, fan art for references is a beautiful, like, I'm like, this is the idea I have, and then they are either able to use it or not.
But yeah, so that's pretty much all we've got for cosplay meetups and, you know, a little bit of tidbits just for general kind of cosplay photography out and about. Pretty much bottom line, exactly what Ali Cass said in their little list, but also keeping in mind just how people who work in businesses around the places you shoot will feel about you doing all this photography and clogging up the sidewalk sometimes. You know, you want to keep these good relationships with things like, with people like business owners and stuff like that, so you can have these different good relationships so you can get cooler photos. I know there's a few business owners down in Chilliwack that I know sometimes will let us use things like the insides of their stores to get photos, especially for things like modern settings or whatever. Because I know Ali Cass and I really want to do like a modern AU Lincoln Zelda shoot, and we can use
like a CMV.
Well, CMV photo shoot, same thing, same difference, really. And they just already said that we could use the inside of their really cute little Italian gelato place.
It's so cute.
As a photo shoot backdrop. Mm-hmm. And be totally fine. So you really want to make sure you keep those connections with things like business owners and other general populace people.
Yeah.
Because you never know where those connections can get you in terms of really cool content ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, like, meetups are really fun. And I highly suggest throwing yourself out there and either joining a meetup if you see them online or hosting your own. You can always put out a general call out on your Instagram story and be like, hey, I really want to, like, do a shoot for Insert Fandom here. And there will be people, if you know people, that will be, like, that will respond to your story and be like, hey, that'll be really fun. And then if you make a group chat, somebody else in there might add a friend, and then somebody else might know a photographer, and that's organically how a lot of things happen, because...
That's how a lot of groups are built, actually.
Yeah, like, I've met so many photographers through just seeing somebody online go, hey, I need insert character for this shoot, and I go, I have that character, and then I DM them and go, hey, I hear you're doing a shoot. And then I've met lovely, amazing people through that, and made a lot of connections, so sometimes you just have to put yourself out there.
With these kinds of creative endeavors, 99% of the battle is putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
Right.
And sometimes if they've already, like, a shoot is happening, and then you put yourself out there, and they're like, actually, that character's been taken, and you don't have any others, you can always go, if you really want to meet these people, and you want to network more, you can, as we've said before, go, hey, but are you looking for an assist, or something like that? And then you can still go and still make those connections while also being, like, helpful. Mm-hmm. And then that can also be something where you can decide if this is something that is for you, because, you know, sometimes these big group settings just aren't for everybody. It can be a lot to put yourself out there in public in a costume posing on a street. So, you know, I don't know, just put yourself out there. Go for it. Have mm-hmm. some fun. Host a meetup. Do it. They're really fun.
This is a challenge.
We're
holding you all at gunpoint to host more shoots.
They are so much fun, actually, and not that difficult to put together.
They sound a lot scarier to put together than they actually
really do.
Are.
Because they really do.
Because once you get one or two people interested, they kind of, like, build themselves.
Because a lot of times, when you put out a call out for a certain thing, you tag everybody in the initial thing, and then they put that on their story, and then they know people, and then suddenly you've got 20 people interested, and you have to start turning people down. Because mm-hmm. this is what was happening.
Yeah, there's been a few shoots where we put the call out.
And then an hour later,
we're having to shut it down, because we already have 20, 25 people interested in coming.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh, God. I need
people
to find a photographer.
People are fighting in the streets to cosplay one character.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, just... You know, and this is something about, like, cosplay in general. You always just put yourself out there. Like, just go for it. Have some fun. Like, host a shoot. We're all nerds. We're all silly little weebs in wigs.
And chances are random people on the street will recognize what you're doing anyways.
And
especially with cosplay becoming more and more mainstream.
I've had a lot of people that will be, like, driving by and then pop their head out the window and be like, that's so cool! And you're like, hello, thank you. Or, like, have people with...
God, is that you?
Yeah. Or, like, have little kids get absolutely freaking so excited to just see you standing there on the street.
Definitely excited for the DC ladies group going through.
Oh, that's going to be insane.
I still need to start on that.
Yeah, you do.
I'm not dying with Josh.
Because that's, like, what, like, a week before we go see Stray Kids?
We're not talking about this. I'm scared.
I still have to, like, make final decisions on and start our outfits for Stray Kids.
Good luck. Anyways, do you have anything else you want to add on meetups and group photo shoots and stuff like that?
I think we've covered everything.
All right. Yeah. Do you want to do the outro or shall I? I will. All right. Well, this has been another episode of the Dress Up Disasters podcast. If you have an idea for any guests you want to see on our show, or topic ideas you want us to discuss, or you have your own ideas, comments, concerns, queries about what we discussed today, feel free to reach out to us either on Instagram at Circass Productions or our email at dressupdisasters@gmail.com. We also have a merch store over on Teespring, which, of course, all of the links will be attached to both our Instagram and, hopefully, assuming all the links work, the description of this episode. As Cass mentioned earlier this episode, we do have a panel at SoccerCon in just over a week, which will be Good Friday at 9 p.m. in Summit Room 440, all about cosplay horror stories. So we hope to see you guys there for the exclusive stories we're going to be telling, and we will see y'all in the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.